You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. Pleased to be joined, as always, by Jason Beck. Beck, the Tigers are in first place by a whisker after salvaging that series against the Royals, winning the last two of the four. I like those series, man. This is and they'll play again, you know, next weekend. But as early as it is, they have that, you know, it's got that feel to it, doesn't it? Of two heavyweight ball clubs, you know, battling it out at the top of the division.
Yeah. You know, I think it does. Even if the Tigers don't necessarily make too big of a deal out of it, because they've been through so many of these over the years, I think it's, you know, it's nice to have this type of series this early in this division, you know, especially given all the hype about, you know, the Yankees, Red Sox, and maybe some other rivalries, you know, over the course of April and now into May. But it's not going to decide a division. It, you know, maybe it would have set a tone. I know the Tigers overcame enough sweeps in Cleveland early in previous seasons that it wouldn't have been an absolute disaster, but the way it played out with the Royals just, you know, really kind of slugging Tigers pitching there for the first game and a half, and then the Tigers, you know, relying on what they usually do with, you know, strong starting pitching to recover and, you know, get back to even and basically leave here in the same spot they came in.
Well, the Tigers have obviously got off to such a strong start offensively. You know, the very few weak spots in the lineup, but it is surprising at any point in the season, even knowing his condition and coming back from knee surgery and his age and everything, it's just surprising to look up and see Victor Martinez hitting about .213. Certainly not the kind of start he got off to last year, that's for sure. How much of that is just, you know, not having both his legs where, you know, they should be or where they ought to be from both sides of the plate? What do you think is going on with him offensively?
I think that's a large part of it. We've seen better swings from him over the last week or so, and I know people are skeptical when they, you know, when they read that, when they hear that, but you see swings that last season would carry balls out or carry balls deep into the gap or to the fence that are ending up as lineouts or flyouts this year. And that, to me, is just a sign that, you know, his legs aren't there. That leg power that he's relied on for years isn't there. Is it going to be there at some point this year? You would hope. But at the same time, I think you have to plan for the possibility that he might not be that power hitter that you were hoping you might have this season, or, you know, and that you definitely had in abundance last season. And that might have been the case whether he was coming off knee surgery or not. I think, you know, the home run totals were just so out of the ordinary, you know, for him, even in his prime, but especially for somebody at his age, that I think you had to expect some sort of fallback there. But that said, you know, you expect a little bit more, you know, even doubles power, I think, by this point. And it doesn't look like that's going to be there for a while. I think he can be productive as a singles hitter, or, you know, as a gap hitter who gets singles and some doubles. But it's going to be a different type of game. And it's not necessarily going to be the type of game that forces hitters to attack Miguel Cabrera and be honest with him.
Yeah, I'm with you, Beck. I mean, last year was a total anomaly power-wise. His slugging percentage went up, 135 points from the year previous, which is quite a leap for a 35-year-old, and his home run total more than doubled. And I'm surprised, just pure batting average, as much as we you know, put down that stat in today's game and don't focus on it nearly as much as we did, he hasn't hit under 300 since 2008. And even that was an anomaly. So it's certainly strange, like I said, to see him off to the slow of a start, but certainly some physical reasons behind that. And on the subject of physical things going on with the Tigers. Justin Verlander, as we record this, he's scheduled to get an MRI this week. What's the latest on him?
Well, I think we're waiting to see. It's not an MRI necessarily to see how much damage is in the triceps. I think that the Tigers are characterizing this as more of a progress MRI to see where the inflammation, where the fluid buildup is, and whether it's cleared up enough for him to begin a ramp up in his throwing program and restart that progression towards getting back onto a mound and getting back into games. That said, Brad Ausmus was pretty realistic about it over the weekend, saying that he's far enough removed from game action that when he does come back, he's probably going to need a lengthy rehab assignment. So you're probably looking at, my estimation would be, even if he gets a clearance coming up, you're probably looking at close to a month here, I think, before you can realistically expect to have him back. Now, maybe he beats the timetable, but every indication right now is that they're using an abundance of caution with him right now just because of what he means to this team and just, the setback he had during the simulated game a few weeks ago. I don't think they want to go through that again and have to do another start over, because then you would have to be probably looking at the possibility of not having them at all over the first half. So I think if they could get him back by the end of May, I think they'd be tickled. But first of all, you got to get the clearance first, and I think there's no guarantee, even though he's been doing very light throwing, basically the type of throwing just to keep him busy, I don't think that's any sign necessarily that he's on the road back just yet.
We've talked, in Verlander's absence, we've talked a bit about the back end of the rotation, Alfredo Simon and Shane Green and the way they've stepped up here early. But, ultimately this club does have to ride its horses, and David Price has certainly, been everything you'd expect him to be or want him to be in a free agent year. But Anibal Sanchez got off to a much rougher start, a couple real clunkers back-to-back in April. He seems like he's rounded into form with three straight quality starts, and of course he was perfect into the sixth the other day against the Royals. So basically, I guess that's what are you seeing from Sanchez, and do you feel like he's starting to find his old form?
Yeah, I'm seeing him hang fewer pitches and basically not giving opponents a chance to take advantage of mistakes and get the mistakes hit out of the ballpark. If he's missing down, he's missing off. He's not missing in the zone. Right? So I think Altavilla talked about it after the win on Sunday, that usually when Sanchez goes awry, he gets rushing in his delivery, and that's where he kind of starts flying open with his mechanics. And bottom line is he leaves pitches up. His breaking pitches get a little flat, and he basically just gets quite hittable. And we haven't seen that now, I think, for three starts, even though this is his first win since his first start of the year. It's a promising sign. I think it'd like to stretch him out a little bit more. You saw signs of fatigue there in the seventh and the eighth. I know that that's been kind of a common trait of his the last couple of years. But they can push him through that and get him to a point where, almost like Price, where you can get, six plus, maybe seven innings out of him, most every time out when he's on. I think that can make a huge difference for these guys. And, it puts you in a position where you can count on being able to save that bullpen for that back end, where maybe you can be a little bit more aggressive going to the bullpen, if you see Simon being off, or if you see Green leaving pitches up. I think the biggest pitching surprise, the whole weekend against KC was what Kyle Lobson was able to do after that rough first inning. He went seven, which I don't think any of us envisioned him being able to do that, even in a game where he was completely on. I think a lot of us have kind of looked at him as kind of a five and dive or maybe a six inning type of guy. And for him to be able to work deeper, if they can get that even occasionally, that's a big difference for these guys. The more you can kind of save that bullpen for, to use the old Jim Leland phrase, the more you can save the bullpen for when you want to use them as opposed to when you have to use them, I think the better off these guys are.
On the subject of the bullpen, they have to be glowing about the job Joaquin Soria has done in place of Joe Nathan, and I don't think any of us would have been shocked to know going into the season that Soria would be the closer eventually. It happened a lot quicker than we imagined, but a 1.45 ERA, 10 for 10 in the saves department. And then back this kid, Angel Nesbitt, comes along, and you know, he's just really stepping into more of a high-leverage role in that bullpen. Talk about his development and kind of really rising up the ranks there in the bullpen very quickly.
Yeah, it's kind of – they're trying to temper the progression. They're working him in slowly, but it's one of those situations where Brad Ausmus doesn't reveal his hand a whole lot on a lot of bullpen usage, but he's pretty upfront when saying, you know, that they're trying to be slow and deliberate with how they use Nesbitt, but that they eventually see him being a type of guy that they can use in late inning situations. He's got that potential. I mean, you know, he was a closer last year and a very good one on his way up the system. He made the trip up pretty aggressively, you know, once he got going that way. But I think they're going to pick and choose their spots, but if you can get him in a position where you can use him in the eighth inning in spots alongside, you know, Jabba Chamberlain, even if you don't get Rondon back anytime soon, I think having Nesbitt in a similar type of role can make a huge difference. Now, he's not quite that same pitcher. We're not seeing necessarily the 97 mile-an-hour pitches and up from him that we saw a little bit in spring training when his adrenaline was going and he was trying to win the job. But what he's done is he's taken a mile-an-hour off or two to regain a little bit better control and hit his spots more consistently and setting up kind of the cutter in the slider and some of the off-speed stuff. And if you can get that out of him, I think the Tigers see the potential for a pretty nice reliever and really the type of reliever that they've been trying to get for years now that they thought they had Rondon before he got hurt a couple of years back. But now they haven't had that homegrown reliever that you can slot in. And pretty much every other contender has been able to develop one of those guys. These guys haven't. They've had to hit the market hoping to time a guy right where they get a guy when he's still effective and you're not necessarily overpaying them. It's a tough game to play when you've got to do it over and over. So, you know, if they can hit on Nesbitt, if they can get Rondon back and get something out of him eventually here, you know, I think that's a better way for them to upgrade the bullpen, I think, than to count on being able to go to the market and find the right deal. And because bullpen pieces are at a premium, I think, all over right now.
They are, and it is. It's a very frustrating way to have to do business every summer, to part with young talent, to bring back a reliever who's going to pitch a handful of innings for you between the end of July and the end of September. That's no way to do business. So, yeah, certainly Nesbitt helping out in a substantial way. And Jason Beck is always helping us out. I want to thank him for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.